The series is love. We talked about week one, to love God. Week two, love yourself. Last week I talked about loving people. All right, how many would think last week was a hard one? That's a hard one, right? Yes, a few of you think loving people's hard, isn't it? Especially when we see it through God's eyes and how he expects us to love people, that can be difficult, all right? And it's challenging to us. So this morning, the title of today's message, the final message in this series, is called Fight for Love. We have to fight for love, all right? So Matthew 22, 37 through 39, our main scripture that we've been reading every week, said, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Okay? We've talked about, like I said, loving God and loving yourself and loving people, but I need to talk to you today about how to fight for love, that we have to fight for love. It's a command. Did you know that? It's a command from God. I'm going to show it to you today. And you're thinking, well, why would we have to fight for it? Why would we have to fight for love? Well, first, it's not an it. You know that, right? Love is not an it. Love is a him. Yes? Because God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. So if God is love, then love is a him. All right? And so we need to understand that we're not just fighting for an it, for an object. We're fighting for God. We're fighting for his kingdom. We're fighting for the faith is what we're fighting for. And you must fight. It's clear in the Word of God that we have to fight, okay? You can't just become a follower of Jesus and expect to sit on the sidelines. It doesn't work that way, right? If you're following him, he is leading us into the fight, okay? There's no bench warmers in the kingdom of God, right? Anybody ever play sports? Anybody? All right, I warmed the bench sometimes when I played sports. I didn't like it. I wanted to be in the game. And anybody that's ever played sports that really loves sports, you don't want to sit on the bench, do you? Right? You always think you can do better than the other person in the game. I should be starting. And I did not like sitting on the bench. I wanted to be in the game. I wanted to be in the action. Okay? In the kingdom of God, there are no bench warmers. If you're in the kingdom, if you're following Jesus, then you are in the game. Okay? You have to fight. And if you don't fight, you're going to get beat up. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Philippians 1:27 says, "Standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith." What's that say? Fighting together for the faith. We're fighting together, okay? We're not only standing on the Word of God, we're not only standing together, we're fighting together. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith." Fight the good fight for the true faith, okay? Another scripture in 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful." So this is Paul speaking, and he says, I did it. I fought the good fight. He's at the end of his journey. He's at the end of his life, and he said, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful." Paul is clearly saying, you got to fight, all right? You got to fight for this thing. You can't just sit on the sidelines. You can't just expect it to happen. You got to fight for it. I've said this many times to us, that God does not want, if God wanted us to just automatically do what, you know, he's placed in us to do, he would have created robots, right? He would have created robots that have no free will, that were pre-programmed to do whatever he called them to do or told them to do. He would have placed a chip in them or whatever he did, however he created it, that they would automatically, we'd have just automatically, and just did what God, you know, and programmed us to do. But he didn't program you to just automatically do it. He gave you a free will. Yes, he programmed you, but he gave you a free will to choose whether you want to do it or not, whether you want to follow him or not. It's your choice. You don't have to. You don't have to be here today. You don't have to listen to me giving you the Word of God this morning. You can get up and walk out. It's your choice. You chose to come here today. Nobody forced you to come. Nobody made you do this. You chose to do it. And just like you're choosing right now whether to listen to this Word or not, you can choose to just shut it off Okay, many of us have done this. Many of us have sat there and just went, you know, I don't want to listen anymore. Just beep. And we start thinking about other things, and our mind starts wandering, we start daydreaming and all of that, you know. You choose whether you want to listen to this word today. And then you choose whether you want to apply it to your life. Because James 1:22 says, do not just be hearers of the word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. So you can choose to sit here and listen and then walk out there and not change. That's your choice. Or you can choose to not only come here today, not only sit here and listen to the word of God, but then say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. Just like many of you stood just a few moments ago and said, there's addiction in my life. I know there is. I got to deal with it. No, however small or large it is, it doesn't matter. Even if it's small, if you just sit there and go, I can deal with that. Yeah, but you haven't been. Because you think you got it under control. You think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. You think, well, you know. Or you think, maybe, what if I stand? What are people going to think about me? Man, I stood and said I got an addiction. I've been attending this church for 20 years. And they're going to go, oh, wow, there's an addiction in that person's life. You know what? First of all, most people don't think that. Some people do, but who cares what they think? Right? Some people do, but who cares? But the people that truly love you, that are brothers and sisters in Christ, they're applauding you when you stand up and go, man, I got an issue I got to deal with. I got an issue. Can I tell you all this morning, I got some issues. Is that okay? Are you going to get up and run out? Newsflash, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't finished my race yet. Okay? I don't think I have unless the Lord decides to call me home right now. And if he does, thank you, Jesus. I've been waiting for this moment. Right? But I don't have it all together. I am not perfect. I am not Jesus, but I'm striving to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. I'm following him because I trust him, and I know he is the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm trying to get better in this journey, in this walk. But I haven't arrived yet. I'm not in heaven yet. When I get to heaven, I will be perfect. Amen? Anybody waiting for that day that you get to be perfect, huh? I was just talking to Kim yesterday, day before, yesterday, and this is what I said, okay? I said, man, I hope I don't have to shave in heaven. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Groom and everything. I like to stay groomed, you know what I mean? But I hate doing it. Huh? Some guys just don't do it. Ooh. Oh, man, that's just, y'all know what I'm talking about? The unibrows and hair growing out of their ears like it shouldn't. And the older you get, the more hair grows out of your ears. I don't know why I'm going off on this, but you know it's true. And out of your nose. Man, it's crazy. Thought about just adding that to my goatee right there. That just braid it. You know? And those nose hairs are crazy. Oh, y'all loosen up a little bit this morning. Come on. We're about to talk about fighting for love. You need to loosen up. All right, let's look at this. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Watch this. Okay? This is a warning from the Lord of what it will be like in the last days. Now watch. I want you to pay close attention when I emphasize words. 2 Timothy 3:1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Pause. Stop there. How many of you believe we're in the last days? Anybody? Come on. Have you looked around? Have you ever known it to be more difficult in our world today than it is today? There will be terrible, very difficult times. Verse 2, watch. For people will love only themselves and their money. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Watch, verse 3, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. All right, now let me just pause right there. Now everybody, I'm going to finish this, but you need to pay attention. Because everybody sitting here today and watching today that's a Christian, that's followers of Jesus, you're sitting there going, yeah, that's the world, right? That's the world he's talking about. Newsflash, he's not talking about the world. Watch, okay? Verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They will act religious. I'm telling you today, this scripture, okay, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, this is the church. And how do we know this? Because if you'll read the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, you'll see these things in there, okay? You'll see them right in there. God's talking to the church right here. He's not talking to the world right here. He's talking to the church, all right? That we already know that he told us to come out from the world and be separate, did he not? The Lord already said, come out from them and be separate. Do not be of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Okay? You're living in it, but you're not of it. Anybody in this world? Anybody living in this world? Look at somebody, say, you're in it. Now look at somebody else, say, but you're not of it. You're not of it. Okay? You are here. You're living on planet Earth, but you're not of this world. That means you're not a part of it. You've been called out to be separate. All right? You're separated. You're a holy people, a royal priesthood. Yes? Okay, so you've been called out of the world, so God already did that. So here he's telling us, no, this isn't the church. You'll see this in the church. You'll see people who love only themselves and their money in the church. You'll see people that are boastful and proud, and they scoff at God in the church. They're very disobedient to their parents, and they're ungrateful, and they consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving, and they'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They'll be reckless and puffed up with pride, and they love pleasure rather than God. They love pleasure rather than God. They love pleasure rather than God. You know what that is? That's an addiction. There are people that are addicted to pleasure. Yeah. And what he goes on to say is they will act religious. In other words, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. They act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. That last verse, verse 5, what do you think the power is that could make them godly? What do you think it is? Shout it out. Anybody know? What is it? What's the power? Holy Spirit, okay. But I'm looking for another word. What? What? Love. Love is the power. Love is the power that makes them godly. They act religious, but they reject the power. They reject the power. And the power is love. I'm going to show it to you, but I want to tell you something. I had a dream a few years ago, and I wrote it down in my dream journal like I do. And I've shared this with the church before, but I'm going to share it to you again because some of you haven't heard it. But in this dream, I was driving along in a car. Kim was with me in the car, and we were driving on this road, and it was a very congested road, and it was very windy. Okay, it did a lot of these things. And I was in the car, and I was watching my travel on the GPS in the car. And I could see the road winding like this, and then all of a sudden I saw like a tunnel on the GPS, and then I saw this big, wide, four-lane highway that's just straight as an arrow. And as we're winding along on this road in the car, there's a bunch of cars stalled on the right-hand side of the road. It's a two-lane highway, and they're all stalled in the right-hand lane. So I was in the left lane going next to these cars, and there are other cars that weren't stalled, but they were turning around and coming in the opposite direction. on this one-way highway. They shouldn't have gone that way, but they're coming against me. So I'm having to squeeze in between these cars that are stalled in the right lane and these cars that are coming against me that are trying to get over on the shoulder, and I'm bumping into them with the car. Okay? And I get to this place in the road where there's this tunnel, and there's cars stalled on the right-hand side, and there's these tree branches, this birch tree that's coming out on this side of the tunnel that's blocking that lane. And so I stop. All the while, there's this car behind me that's been on my tail the whole time traveling with us, and it stops behind us. And when I get out of the car, I step out, and I'm looking at the car, and there's scrapes and dents and damage all around the car. I'm standing there looking at it, and I'm just worried and upset about the car. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let's stay in the physical for a moment with me. If you were doing that, you'd be like, oh, man, look what just happened to the car. Okay? And all these thoughts are going through my mind, and this man that's in this car behind me gets out of the car, and he walks up to me, and he puts his arm around me while I'm lamenting over the damage to the car, and this is what he said. He said, don't worry about the damage to the body. He said, listen to that engine. It's powerful. It purrs like a kitten, and it will get you to where you're going. And boy, I'm telling you, I can feel Holy Spirit right now like I did in the dream and like I did when I woke up. I knew immediately when I woke up what this meant. And just after he said that, he went over and he grabbed those limbs to that tree and he held them back like this and so that I could come over and cut these limbs off so that we could get through that passage and get into that big four-lane highway. And I know that dream means a lot to me personally and to us as a church. It means a lot. Because if you don't know, vehicles, cars, planes, trains, all of vehicles usually represent ministry. Okay, so if you have a dream about a vehicle and you're in a vehicle, usually that represents your calling. Okay? And I knew that represented this church. And I knew I'm standing there. This is over three years ago. I knew I'm standing there and I'm watching. It was actually January 26th, 2021. And I'm watching this damage to the body. Well, what's the body represent? We're the body. And I hear this man who represents Holy Spirit say to me, don't worry about the damage to the body. Listen to that engine. It's powerful. And immediately when I woke up and I wrote down in my dream journal all these things that the Lord gave me, and I wrote down the engine is love. Love is the engine. How do we know that? Well, Hebrews 12:24 says this. It says, you have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and his people, and to sprinkle blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking, for if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Watch this. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Now pay attention to that word remain. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes, okay? Only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for God is a devouring fire. So what is the number one unshakable thing that we know of? Love. Love is the number one unshakable thing. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three things, what? Remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These three things, what? They remain. They remain. Remember that word remain. We're going to come to that again in a few minutes. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest thing ever known. It will remain. Right? Three things will remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. So if love is the greatest of the three things that will remain, love is the greatest, then don't you understand that love is the engine that will get us to where we're going? Love is the engine. All right? We have to We have to stay in love. We have to stay in love. Remember last week when I wore this around me? We have to stay in it. We have to stay in love, in God's love, not our version of love, not the world's version of love, God's love. We have to stay in it. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to shake everything up. He came to give it all for love. He came to lay down his life for love. He fought and he died for love. He did. Everybody, listen, everybody knows John 3:16, right? If you don't know John 3:16, you've been living in a hole somewhere, all right? Everybody knows it. I'm going to read the New Living Translation, okay? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? Or the King James Version, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. All right, this scripture is known everywhere, right? You see it at football games. You see it whenever somebody kicks a field goal. You see John 3:16 right between the goalposts, right? It's everywhere, okay? Everybody knows this, but how many of you know the other John 3:16? Because there's another one. There's John 3:16, and then there's 1 John 3:16. And 1 John 3:16 says this, we know what real love is. What's that real love? Agape or agapeo. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. John 3:16, we can quote it. We should be able to quote 1 John 3:16. Because this is the engine. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Okay, he so loved the world. But 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we should do the same. And let me ask you today, are you giving up your life for your brothers and sisters? Are you doing it? Listen, selfishness can be an addiction. Woo. I'm addicted to myself. Might as well face it, you're addicted to yourself. This is everything. This is why Jesus came. He came to give up his life for us. And anyone who claims to follow him should do the same. Okay, I'm going to show you. We must fight for love, right? You don't think Jesus fought? You know, there are some people who say, well, Jesus didn't fight for love. He did fight. He just didn't fight in the traditional sense. He didn't fight the way that the disciples thought he should. His followers, when he came, they're like, they expected Jesus to come riding on a white horse with a sword in his hand. They expected him to overthrow the Roman government and to set them free, physically set them free. And you could see it throughout the Word of God. If you don't believe it, read it. Many times they're like, when is this going to happen? Like, when are we going to do this? Right? When are we going to get busy, Jesus? Because I don't like the way it's going right now because I want to see somebody punched in the face. Right? Right? And we know it because even after Jesus spent 3.5 years with these disciples, even after he spent 3.5 years, Peter still didn't get it. Peter, when they come to get Jesus, he pulls out a sword and cuts off an ear. It goes to show you that Peter was still thinking in the physical. He was still thinking, we got to fight. We got to rise up together. We got to do something about this. And Jesus is trying to say to him, I am doing something about this. You just watch and see what happens next. Jesus was like, I'm about to lay it down for all to see. I'm fighting. I'm just not fighting as you expect me to fight. And what he's saying to us today and through his word is you need to fight for love, but it's not in the physical sense. It's in the spiritual sense. When Kim was up here this morning, man, when she said, boy, this is a warfare set this morning, she had no idea what I was speaking about today. I never told her the title of my message this week. She had no idea that I was speaking about this. And she said, this is a warfare set. We're fighting in the spirit realm. We're fighting. When we worship the Lord, we're in battle. Did you know that? The enemy runs in fear when you lift your voice and lift your hands and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Not going through the motions, but when you lift your hands and your voice and in spirit and in truth. Come on, anybody been in those moments and you knew it was a battle? You knew you were fighting in the spirit? Anybody? I mean, you're worshiping the Lord and you could feel it, right? You could feel it. If it translated into the physical, you'd be running through walls. You'd be kicking down doors, right? You'd have a sword in your hand and you'd be shredding the enemy if it translated into the physical. But we're in the spirit realm, and so while we're worshiping in the spirit realm, man, we're knocking down doors and kicking down walls and we're shredding the enemy with the sword of the spirit. But we have to connect with that. We have to understand that we're doing battle in the spirit realm. And so how do we do this? We lead with love. Love has to be the engine. Love has to propel us through this world that we live in. If love is not all around us and in us and remaining through us, then we will not have the impact in the spirit realm we need to have. You can do all the things in the church. You can check all the boxes off, and you can be involved in all the ministries, and you can do all of these things, and you can speak in tongues, and you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. Nothing. So let's start there. Amen? Come on, I know this is a tough one. I'm getting to a good part though, okay? I'm gonna tell us how in just a second. It's four quick steps, but let's start there. Let's start with love. Let's start with real love. Not this pseudo form of love that we've adopted into the church. Huh? Where we pat each other on the back and I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I'm praying for you. Oh yeah, God bless you. I hope you're blessed and highly favored. Then we go out and we don't think about them the rest of the week. We don't pray for them. We don't really care. Come on, love cares. Love cares. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not self-seeking. Love cares about other people more than yourself. Okay. All right. Y'all want me to shut up now? All right, here we go. Here's four steps. How are we going to do it? We got to fight for love. How are we going to fight for love? Here's four steps. You ready? Step one. Y'all are on YouVersion, so you just read ahead, didn't you? Y'all, I don't like YouVersion. Cut that off. Y'all just already read the whole sermon. That's not okay. Step one, forgive. All right? How are we going to fight for love? Step one, forgive. Forgive. Proverbs 17:9 says, love prospers. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates close friends. If love prospers when a fault is forgiven, then what happens to love when it's not? When a fault is not forgiven? If love prospers when you forgive, then if you don't forgive, love's not prospering. In fact, it's doing just the opposite. You understand that? Let me explain this to you. Let me break this down for a minute. Jason, if I tell you that I love you, you're my brother in Christ, and I love you, brother, okay? And then you wrong me. You do something that upsets me, offends me, whatever. And I don't forgive that. Not only does love not prosper, but then you are looking at me like, man, he said he loved me. He said he had the love of Jesus. Is this the love of Jesus? You don't understand how much we cause people to stumble because we don't really fight for love. And they look at us going, man, they're supposed to represent love. And I made a mistake. And I'm sorry I made a mistake, but why won't you forgive me? And it's not enough to just say, I forgive them. It's not enough to say you forgive them. You got to really do it. I'm going to give you a scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:5. all of the answers to these things, these steps, are in 1 Corinthians 13, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love keeps no record of wrong, being wronged. Love keeps no record of being wronged. So how do you know if you haven't forgiven? You got a record. You know, check Jason, check. And every time you see him or you come upon that person, okay, or you think about them, oh yeah, I remember, check. I've forgiven them, but I won't forget. How many have said that before? Hello. Nope, you're keeping a record. If you won't forget, you're keeping a record. Let me explain something. It doesn't mean you have to be in intimate relationship with them. That doesn't mean that, because that's what people think. Well, if I forgive them, that means it has to go back to what it was before. No, there are people that have done some things to me over the years that, you know what, I don't want to be in relationship anymore. I love you, I forgive you, I'm not thinking about it anymore, I don't keep a record of it, but I don't want to be that close anymore. And that's okay. Boundaries are okay. All right? But you have to really forgive. You have to really forgive. All right? So let's pray right now. Everybody, close your eyes. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to deal with our hearts right now. If there's anyone in this place, any of us, all of us, Father, that have unforgiveness, any unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, reveal it to us right now. Father, Holy Spirit, reveal it right now. Whatever the unforgiveness is, whatever the record is. And I pray, Father, that in Jesus' name, we would wipe it clean. Father, you have forgiven us of everything that we've done. All we had to do was ask you, and you forgave. Lord, I pray that you help us to forgive all of those who have wronged us. Truly forgive them. Truly forgive them, Father. Wipe the record clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Step two. Ready? Step two, be humble and selfless. So step one, forgive. Step two, be humble and selfless. Okay? How many of you in here are humble? How many of you in here are proudly humble? Just amen. I'm humble. I was the first one to raise my hand. Did you see that? Micah 6:8, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, James 4:6 says this, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many of you in this place today, you want God's grace in your life? Come on, lift your hand. You want God's grace. Lift it up. Yes, I want it. Okay. Then there's a formula for that, all right? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace generously to the humble. You want the grace of God? Then humble yourself. Humble yourself. That's okay. It's just reading the scripture for you. That's all right. That's good. I hear it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5 says, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. If there's any jealousy or boastfulness or pride or rudeness in your life, then it's the opposite of being humble. It's the opposite. All of those things cause us to demand our own way, you know? I have struggled with something my whole life that all of you have struggled with at some point. We've all struggled with this throughout our lives. Here's the thing. Have you ever said or thought, because maybe it didn't come out of your mouth, ever said or thought, like, when's it my turn? Like, why do I always have to be the one to give in? When do, you know what I mean? Have you ever thought that or said that? Like, what, you know, man, it's, I give and give and give, but when's somebody gonna, you know? Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? And you're just like, and I get the understanding and the idea of that, because we all feel that way at times, but you need to understand that that's the enemy at work, okay? That's Satan at work. That's his logic, his thinking, his mindset, okay? But the mindset of love, the power of love is that we are selfless and we give of ourselves, even when it feels like we're always the one to give of ourselves. We keep giving. And whenever that thought starts to come in of like, when do I get mine? When is it my turn? What about me? You know, this is not fair. The whole unfairness thing. Whenever that mindset comes in, I have to consciously and purposefully deal with that lie from the enemy. Because if I don't, I'll start to think that way and start to look for that in my life, right? Okay? And then, you know what happens? Then I start to look to people to fix that, to solve that for me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'll start to look at my wife and expect her to solve that problem, expect her to fill that void, expect her to do those things for me. Like, when is it my turn? Like, when are you going to serve me? Oh, yikes, right? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. So are you putting others before yourself? Are you truly humble? Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Okay, step 3. Ready? Be patient and kind. All right, this is how we fight for love. All right, this is how we fight for love. We forgive. We humble ourselves and become selfless. And then step 3, we got to be patient and kind. All right? Nehemiah, speaking about God, said this. He said, in your love, God, in your love, you were patient with them for many years. See, we can never look to God and say, well, you didn't do this. You didn't demonstrate this. We can never point the finger at God and say, you didn't show us the way. Right? He is love. So he did these things. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. You want to fight for love? Be patient. You want to fight for love? You really want to fight for love? Be patient in trouble and in trials. Right? Not, come on, God. Come on, God. When are you going to fix this for me? Come on. I've been waiting a whole day. I've said this recently, in the last year or so, maybe more than once. I said, I really don't like that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I have this, I have this fear that his timing is going to be 1,000 years. Right? God, you made some promises, and when are these promises going to come to fruition in my life? Because I'm ready for it. Anybody ready for the promises of God to come to fruition, to come to pass in their life? I am too. But we have to be patient. If we're going to fight for love, we got to be patient and trust him. Remember this. The enemy is going to try with everything in him to get you to throw patience out the door, out the window. He wants you to give up on patience. He wants you to just start questioning God. Why aren't you doing this in my life? Why aren't you coming through for me? And God's just saying, will you just be patient and trust me? Will you be patient? I got a plan. I got a good plan. How many of you know God's got a plan and it's a good plan? It's a good plan. I believe it. He's got a good plan for my life. All right? So be patient. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Listen to that scripture. Man, I wish that was on the screen this morning. Listen again. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. You're fighting. You're fighting for love. When you're patient, you're fighting for love. When you're kind, you're fighting for love. First Peter 2:19 says, for God is pleased. God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Did you just hear that? How many of you want God to be pleased with you? I do. So God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. So are you kind to people as you patiently wait for God to work things out? All right? I'm going to tell you this. Treating them differently will not change them. You understand that? Treating them with rudeness will not change them. You know what will change people? I said, you know what will change people? Love. The love of God will change them from the inside out. I promise you it works. It works. And you may think, well, I'm sending a message to them because I'm, you know, they know they're getting a cold shoulder from me. What they did, you know what you did. So, right? You think that's going to change them? That will not change them. If anything, it drives them away. If anything, it does the opposite of what you want to accomplish. But if you'll just love them and patiently love them and be kind to them, you'll see a change in their lives. I'm telling you, it works. Step forward, last one, ready? So the first step is forgive. Second step is be humble, selfless. Third, be patient and kind. Right? We're fighting for love. And here's the fourth one. It's important. Never give up. Never give up. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love wins every time. Every time. Love wins. You may say, well, there are many times it doesn't feel like love wins. Stop going by your feelings so much. Stop relying on your feelings. Rely on the Word of God. I promise you it's true. The Word of the Lord is truer than your feelings. Amen? But I would respond to that if you're like, well, sometimes I don't feel like love wins. I'll respond to, there's two things. One is this. Well, was it God's love that you were giving? Or was it a combination of the world's love and God's love? A form of godliness, in other words. You know, like maybe you were patient, but you weren't kind during that period. I've been patient waiting on them, but you were really rude. All right? That doesn't work, okay? And number two, just because you don't see immediate results doesn't mean that God's love is not working. Be patient and wait on his love to work in your life. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says this, love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Love never fails. Look at somebody and say it to them. Love never fails. Love never fails. Never, ever fails. Again, let me remind you of 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared before so many witnesses. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to fight for love. Fight for it. Forgive people. Be humble. Be patient. Be kind. And fight. Because love never fails. Let me show you one more thing. Remember I told you to pay attention to the word remain. Watch this in John 15:4. Jesus is speaking, and watch what he says. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Y'all, we got to remain. We got to remain in love. If we don't remain in love, love won't remain in us. Another word used there is abide. It's to be intimate with. Okay? Intimately involved with love. Real love. God's love. Okay? And how do we do that? We have to fight for it. You have to fight for it in your own life. You have to fight for it in your own family. You have to fight for it. Come on, husbands and wives. If you're husband or wife in here, raise your hand. If you're married, raise your hand. All right? If you have a significant other, raise your hand. Okay? You got to fight. You got to fight for love in your marriage. All these things I'm talking about, why don't you start with your marriage? Hello? This could be just a marriage session right here. Right? Step one, married couples, forgive. There's some married couples in this place, you're still holding unforgiveness for something they did years ago. Don't you think it's time to forgive them? You want your marriage to be healed and work? Forgive. Step two, be humble. I can't tell you how many men I've met with marriage counseling, and I sit down and go, okay, tell me what's going on. And I mean, for about 30 minutes nonstop, all they can talk about is what she did and what she said and she, this and that, and this and that. I don't let them go on that long. They start talking about her, I say, stop. Sometimes I do that, stop. I'm hearing this and I want to hear this. I go, stop. Quit talking about her. She's not here. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. Huh? Because I don't hear humility right now. Be humble. Be patient. Be kind. And never give up. So close your eyes right now. We're going to